Okay, my Rav, Rabotai, part of the smicha requirement is to do Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbes. If you have been in smicha for a number of years, all you have to do is Bishul B'Shabbes. If you're relatively new in smicha, so you have a full year requirement of Shabbos. The idea, of course, is that traditionally, if you'd ask someone what it means to be a frum Jew, is that Shabbos, Kashrus and Nida, and Taras HaMishpacha, no? So the idea of Smicha being Shabbos, Kashrus, and Taras HaMishpacha actually makes a lot of sense. So that is what the goal of the Hilchos Shabbos Shir is. Now, Bishul B'Shabbos is a really important topic. I can tell you that it's important for two reasons. One reason is obviously you have to live as a frum Orthodox Jew, so you have to know what to do and what not to do on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah writes in his Hakdama to Chelek Gimel, which is the Chelek of Hilchos Shabbos, that unless you constantly review and go over the dinim, you're going to end up making mistakes in Yisurei Skila. So it's really important to know Hilchos Shabbos. From that perspective, just to be an Orthodox Jew, certainly to be a Rav, a Morah HaRav of Yisrael, probably 50% of the shaylas that you're going to get, l'chol hapachos, are going to be shaylas in Hilchos Shabbos. So you got to know what to do. Now, here's the thing. Usually, if you want to know what to do, you take out a book called the Shulchan Aruch, and Shulchan Aruch tells us what to do. The difficulty with Hilchos Shabbos in particular is that Shulchan Aruch does not really help us all that much. Shulchan Aruch, first of all, obviously doesn't deal with many of the modern cases that we're going to encounter. So we have to learn a more modern, updated things, or l'chol hapachos, the derech that we learn in our yeshiva is that we try to give svaros so that you understand the reason behind the dinim. And if you understand the reason behind the dinim, so therefore you'll be able to apply it to more modern cases. So if you just go through Shulchan Aruch, you're not going to be able to really master the modern shailas and Hilchos Shabbos that you're going to encounter. Another reason why Hilchos Shabbos in particular, Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos, is complicated and it's hard to do just from Shulchan Aruch is because Shulchan Aruch goes in this really weird order. The order is called chronological. You begin with preparing yourself on Erev Shabbos, right? That's like Siman, Chves, Resh, Mem, Beis. And you talk about Amira, Lenachri in terms of kaplonos and building homes, etc. And then you talk about dinim derabbanan of Bishul B'Shabbos, namely shehiyah, leaving the food on an exposed fire, namely hachazara, returning the food that was on the fire, right? You do that. And we have the din of hatmana, because hatmana, insulating the food, is something that's done in Erev Shabbos. And we don't get to real Bishul until Siman Shin Yud Ches. So Resh Nun Gimel through, let's say, Resh Nun Tes are dinim derabbanan of Bishul, and Shin Yud Ches are dinim d'oraisa of Bishul. Now, if you would ask, I'd say 1,000 people surveyed walking down the street, like, how would you organize Hilchos Shabbos? Right? So they'd probably say, oh, we start with dinim d'oraisa, so then we get to dinim derabbanan, no? But it don't work like that because Hilchos Shabbos is organized in Shulchan Aruch in a chronological order. Hence, Shulchan Aruch is awesome, gewaldic, amazing, but for Hilchos Shabbos in particular, Shulchan Aruch is not ideal. So if you want to know Hilchos Shabbos, at least in the sense of what to do, not in the sense of paskening shaylos, at least in the sense of what to do, you need some of the Kitzur Svarim, which are very helpful. So just to go through some of those Kitzur Svarim, they appear in both Hebrew and in English. It's kedai to have a library. We begin our Nidush Yom like this also. It's kedai to have a library at home of Svarim that you can call upon when necessary. In English, the original sefer was Rabbi Shimon Eider's halachos of Shabbos. Rabbi Eider is a Talmud here in the yeshiva, but he was into learning halacha. So he used to go down to Reb Moshe Feinstein whenever he had a shayla. He left our yeshiva and went to Reb Moshe and asked him the shaylas. So a lot of the tshuvas in Reb Moshe are written to Rabbi Eider from when Rabbi Eider was in our yeshiva before he went to Lakewood. So that is the halachos of Shabbos. That is the first English language sefer. The advantage of Rabbi Eider's sefer for Bnei HaYeshiva is that he begins every section by giving you the Marim Makomis where it appears in Shulchan Aruch. So it's organized in the sense of a logical sequence, but he gives you the Marim Makomis where you can find the dinim. Rabbi Ribiat has a sefer called the 39 Malachas. My understanding is when we used to have this thing in YU called the Sfarim Sale, this was the bestseller. Rabbi Ribiat's sefer is tremendous, although it's also very hard to use in the sense of if you're Ben Torah, Ben Yeshiva, so you don't want just like do this, don't do that. So you have to look in the footnotes in the back. And this footnote's going to have one Hebrew footnote that Mamish goes on for 47 and a quarter pages. So like, it's really, on some level, it's very good to use. I actually give this to people as a bar mitzvah gift also. And it's a great thing. You're 13, 14, 15 years old. You want to know the basic dinim, and you're not going to look in the footnotes. But for Bnei Yeshiva, right, the footnotes could be more essential, hard to use. Other Sfarim in Hilcha Shabbos, which are Gevaldik, the classic is the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. The Shmir Shabbos comes in three different versions, 1.0, 2.0, and 3.0. Now we're up to the Shmir Shabbos 3.0. Shmir Shabbos 3.0, like all the Shmir Shabbos, is extremely well organized. The footnotes are tremendous. It's a Gevaldik, a Sefer, as the Pesachim from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. The thing about the Shmir Shabbos is to use it properly, you need like a Seder. You have to go through it and look up the Marim Makomis, and then you're using it really properly. That is very time consuming, but it might be a good idea, right? We're going to have Shiurim, let's say, for 3.5 weeks or so on Hilcha Shabbos. It might be a good idea to spend some time going through the Shmir Shabbos and looking stuff up. I think it's a tremendous sefer. The other two Sfarim, which are very, very, very good. The Sefer Archos Shabbos, now it's up to 4 volumes. The fourth volume came out around last year. The Archos Shabbos is gevaldic in the sense of, first he gives like the major Marim Makom in the Sugya in terms of the Gemara, the major Rishonim, etc. And then he gives his analysis. He's very good in terms of dealing with practical cases. To some extent, it's better than the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa in dealing with practical cases. I like the Archos Shabbos very much, but my best friend, Rabbi Yatz Rimon. If you want to just get a sense of how much I like this sefer, I wrote a review of it on this website called The Lair House. I think it's an amazing sefer. What he does is he goes through the major Marim Makomis in the Gemaras and in the Rishonim, and he gives you the nusach of the Rishonim, etc., so that you really have a sense of what he's talking about. He's not making stuff up. You could see it black and white. Now, is it in-depth be'iyun learning? No, not really. But he does do some of the things that we like to do in our yeshiva, which is he quotes, he deals with svaros. Right? What's the reason behind this? In some of the other svarim, you don't have the svara approach like we do in our yeshiva so much. To some extent, he's like a Talmud of our yeshiva. He's a Talmud of Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecharein Lufracha, who of course was a Rosh Yeshiva by us. Some of the nice things that he does, I think, is he quotes some Pesachim of Reb Aaron, which are very important. He also gives like a biography of this friend that he quotes. I'm a big fan. Like, you should be able to know who are the people that we're talking about. Like, you know, was the person before Moshe Rabbeinu or after, before Moshe Feinstein, after? You have to know, like, when did this person exist? Some of the people we're quoting are probably after Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That's a general assumption. But you really have to know who the Sfarim are. That one of the things that he does very well is giving you the biography as well as organizing the sefer. The page is laid out very nicely. I'm a huge fan of Rav Rimon's sefer. I encourage everybody to get it. And if you want to keep up with the shiurim, it's probably a good idea to read what Rav Rimon has, the Shmir Shabbos, like all these Svarim are really strongly recommended in my Ma'ariv Makomos that I give out. I give some Ma'ariv Makomos to Shmir Shabbos, some to Rav Rimon, etc., occasionally to the Archos Shabbos, although not as often. So let's begin the dinim of Bishul B'Shabbos. From the Ma'ariv Makomos, you can get a sense of the sequence that we're going to try to do things. So the first thing we're going to talk about is Bishul D'Oraisa versus Bishul D'Rabbanan, and what are the items that you can cook on Shabbos, or I should say better, one of the items that we cannot cook on Shabbos. Rambam in Perek Tes of Hilchos Shabbos talks about Inyanei Bishul. Again, the Rambam's organization of Hilchos Shabbos is also something that makes you pull out your hair, right? If you want, Dr. Soloveitchik has an article about why the Rambam organized Hilchos Shabbos the way he does. Perek Gimel of Hilchos Shabbos, Rambam talks about Dinim D'Rabbanan. Perek Tes, he talks about Bishul D'Oraisa. Again, a little bit strange. That's the way it is in the Rambam. So in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, the Rambam tells me that there is an Av Malacha called Ha'ofe. Baking is one of the Avos Malachos. The Gemara tells me that baking and Bishul is really one and the same. The only thing is that Sidura Tana Sidura de Paskanaket, that the order of the Mishnah is based on baking bread. Based on baking bread. So when I bake, I'm baking bread as opposed to when I cook. So baking, the amount that I have to bake to be chayiv. Chayiv in the sense of chayiv misa. So that amount is a grogeres. It's the size of a fig. And the Rambam tells me, Echad ofes hapas, o hamevashos hamaychol, o es hasam emonim, o hamechamim es hamayim, hakol inyan echad hu. Meaning, the malacha of a bishul applies to food, right, and it applies to liquids. Hakol inyan echad hu. But shi'or hamechamim es hamayim is kedei lirchotz behem eiver katan. V'shi'or mevashal samamanim kedei shi'or ru'uyin ledovash hamevashal also. And the shi'or of eifa is a grogeres. Meaning, pardon me, the Rambam is saying that ofe, in the sense of solid food, and bishul in the sense of cooking, heating liquids, have a different shiur. When it comes to cooking solid foods, like the Rambam, the shiur to be chayiv is a grogeres. When it comes to liquids, the shiur is kidei lirchotz behen eifer katan, to wash like a tiny pinky. That's already a suggestive and striking point in the Rambam. It's both the same halacha, but it's a different shiur. No saf al kach, there's a different shear also in terms of not the shear of the kamos, not the shear of the volume that I am cooking, but the degree to which something needs to be cooked. It is different if it is a liquid or a solid, right? By a liquid, the measurement by which I define bishul, the degree of cooking, is what's called yad soledespo. We're going to spend a chunk of time defining what Yad Soledes is. But Yad Soledes is the definition of cooking a liquid. By a solid, the shear is called Maicho ben Drusai. Drusai was a noted bandit. And bandits do not like hanging around in a house after they break and enter to spend time to cook the steak until it's well done. Assuming that's really a steak. Once a steak is mamish well done, das heißt nicht steak. No, but that's a different conversation. But the point is, Ben Drusai would run into the house, he'd cook it quickly, eat quickly, and run out. So Maicho Ben Drusai is the amount that is considered cooking by solids. Whether Maicho Ben Drusai is a third cooking or a half cooking is a machlekes between Rashi and the Rambam. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that Maicho ben Drusai is half cooking. The Mishnah Berurah writes that B'shas HaTzayv, he can rely on the sheet that's a third cooking. But no saf al kach, whatever it is, there's a difference, I'd say, between cooking solids and liquids, both in terms of the shear of kamos and in terms of the maisa of bishul, the extent to which something gets cooked. But there is a third dimension of cooking, which makes it to the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Vav. The Rambam writes that there's cooking by non-food items. Now, in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, the Rambam spoke about cooking dyes. cooking dyes is halachically kind of the same as cooking a food item, just because the Gemara in Sukkah has an expression that things which are hana'aso bi'uro shaveh is considered like some sort of achila in terms of shvius, etc. Hana'aso bi'uro shaveh means that you destroy the item when you are cooking it, when you're using it, right? That's a discussion in the Gemara about a broom, whether it's Kedusha Shvius, right? Sukkah daf lamed tes. Great. So dyes probably is hanasu biyur shaveh. You destroy the dye in the process of cooking it. So that's why it's similar to foods. When the Rambam speaks about cooking non-food items in Parak Tes, Halacha Vav, the Rambam talks about hamatech echad mimene matches, oshu mechami mes hamateches, ad shenase gacheles, hamema seis es ha dunag, o es ha chelev, o es ha zefes. Zuck the Rambam, if I cook metal, or I cook wax, or I cook tar, or I cook all these, I cook clay adamah, I make ceramics, right? So Zuck the Rambam, these things are chayif mishum mevashel. The Rambam writes it's a tolda. Now toldos are also dairaisa. That's a big mistake that people make. Av and Toldah are both Da'iraisa, right? In fact, the Gemara at the beginning of Bava Kama and in Shabbos Tzadivav, the Gemara asks, well, what's the difference between Av and Toldah? And for our purposes, practically speaking, you're chayiv on both. Not much of a difference, right? In terms of number of chatois of chveis, if you do an Av and a Toldah together, maybe there's a nafkamina. But Av and Toldah, you're chayiv for both. The Rambam writes, if I cook a non-food item, that's a told of mevashel. And he writes, klalo shel davar, bing sharipa guf kasha, be'esh, o hiksha gufrach, hareza chayiv, mishum mevashel. The Rambam writes that by non-food items, if I make a hard thing soft or a soft thing hard, that is a chayiv of mevashel. As I state in Rambam. So, bishul by foods is different than bishul by liquids. And bishul by non-foods has a totally different hagdara of bishul. Hardening the soft, softening the hard, right? Almost sounds like paraduma, right? Those things are considered bishul as I state in the Rambam. Now, there's a little bit of a question on the Rambam. The Rambam speaks about both hardening the soft and softening the hard. The Gemara speaks about Haiman da Artach Kufra. If I take tar, you know, like the roads, asphalt, if it gets really hot, like during the summer, you know, your sneakers end up getting stuck to it, right? So that's the Gemara's case. If I take tar and I soften it, how does the Rambam know that if I harden something, I'm also chayiv? That's a shtickle mysterious. The Lecha Mishnah addresses that question. But whatever it is, according to the Rambam, changing the state of something, changing the state of a non-food item is going to be a malacha of mevashel. Now, however, to what degree of cooking is necessary? But remember, by liquids, yad soladas. By solids, mechel ben drusai. What degree of cooking is necessary by a non-food item? So, soft to hard, great. The Prima Gadim writes that soft to hard could be chayiv even if it's not yet yadsei ledes. Even if the temperature is beneath yadsei ledes, but the Magen Avraham in Reish Nun Gimel Sif Katan Lamed Zayin, Magen Avraham has a case about putting a wax keli next to a fire. So the Magen Avraham says that there's not an Isser in that case because you don't really want it to get hot. If it gets hot, it ruins the keli. So that's why it's not Isser. It's considered a Mekalkel. That's what Magen Avraham writes. The Prima Gadim comments on that Magen Avraham that you see from the Magen Avraham that by non-food items, it doesn't have to be Yadsei Ledes. If you heat something up, the Rambam says you heat it up by a fire, so it's near mamish a fire, but even if it doesn't get to Yadzo Ledespo, if it changes state, you could be chayiv. Right? This happens, no? I take wax, right? And I could put it in a place that it's not yet Yad Soledus. Theoretically, it could change state. I take, let's say, a plastic cup. I'm not talking about the good plastic cup. You get like a lousy plastic cup. You got 200 of them for $2.99 in Evergreen, whatever it is. So if I pour water into that cup, the cup can soften up, right? That is potentially a malacha. Ken Zayin, though, I'm pouring the water, let's say, from a kli sheni. If I pour water from a kli sheni, so outstinum of bishol, I'm not going to be chayiv, no? You know the rules. Kli rishon is mevashel. Kli sheni is mevashel. Some stuff, not other stuff. Pouring from a kli sheni should be heter gomor, or kli shlishi, right? It's not bishol. Zaktiv shlomo zalman arbach shmir shabbos kelchas. I think I give the marimakam on the source sheets. I have to look at my notes exactly where. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you know what? Since the Prima Gunim tells me that by non-food items, it's considered bishol, even if it's not Yad Soledes. So l'cha'ayra hu hadin, by a non-food item, even if it's in a kli sheni, kli shlishi, kli chamishi, whatever it is, if it goes from solid and it gets soft, mirapes hakosher machshes harach, that is bishol. That's an unbelievable chiddush, no? Cooking by non-food items, Ken Zayin, is going to be more chamor than cooking food items. This is actually the less famous part of the more famous Chazon Ish.
Yeah, it sounds like you just said, we have one chamor, and therefore I'll make another chamor. That's not what it sounds like you just
said. Well, I think what the Reb Shlomo Zalman is saying is that you see from that Prima Godim that non-food items are not governed by the regular rules of Bishul, which are Yad Seiletes. The regular rules of Bishul involve Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, etc. Once it's not governed by the Yad Seiletes rule, so Mehecha Tesen should be governed by the Kli Sheni rule. I think that's a reasonable point that Reb Shlomo Zalman is saying. But that means a tremendous chumrah. That means, again, you have to be a little bit masochistic to try this, to make a cup of really hot tea in one of those plastic cups on Shabbos, no? It's mamish, it's going to burn your hand shreklach. But, right, it can sign you're violating the Isser Bishul, even though it's a kini sheni, shlishi, chamishi, etc. But obviously, though, according to that Magen Avraham, that by the clay oferes, that if it's mamish, mekalkel, there's no malacha in that case. If I put my if I put my wax keli somewhere close to the fire and it begins to get ruined, it's not bishul. So ken zayin, that's the kula on the plastic cups. But we still have to deal with the fact that there is bishul on non-food items. So shmir shabbos, it's perek aleph ha'arakuf tzadiches, if you're interested. Now, can we paskin Meseches Yoma, last perek, that the shiur is in order to be chayiv? B'chatzi shiur is aser min ha-tayra, no? So when the Rambam tells me that the amount to be chayiv, the amount to be put to death, etc., is if I cook a grogeres, even less than a grogeres, chatzi shiur is aser min ha-tayra, right? By mayim, kedei lirchotz eivesh katan, pachais mizeh, is going to be chayiv. What about the chatzi shiur in the other direction? Chatzi shiur in the sense of it's not yet hot enough to be Yad Seiledes. Would that be a chatzi shiur? That's Azar Min HaTorah. So that's a discussion the Prima Gadim has in a number of places. The Prima Gadim was a Rosh Hashiva. That's why when he writes, it's so geschmack, you know? People always do halacha, Rabbi Tversky has a nosach. The halacha, by definition, is limiting. When you learn la halacha, that, like, you're saying svarus and you give a shiurim on it, that's mamish geschmack, no? So, Prima Gadim was a Rosh Hashiva. So he was like a geschmack fellow. So the Prima Gadim writes a suffix that maybe there's a chatzi shiur in these types of shiurim that I would call shiurim in echos. No, the quality of bishul is my choben drusoy. If I cook less than that, the quality of bishul or the degree of bishul that was the nusach we used beforehand is yad seiledes. If I cook something to less than that, one could argue that's katzi shir. On the other hand, one could also argue that the shir of yad soledes, let's say, is what we would call a threshold rather than a shir. Or to use, Rav Shechter uses a lashon he quotes in the Rugged Shavar, it's called a shir nekuda. A shir nekuda means yad soledes is the cutoff. Anything beneath yad soledes is garnished with garnished. It's nothing. Above yad soledes, it's going to be real bishul. So that's an interesting question. The Chazon Ish says a tremendous chumrah. Remember, there's this thing called electricity, which Judaism, as practiced, assumes it's mamish asr, no? But why is it asr to use electricity on Shabbos? Now, I'm not talking about when I create a circuit that turns on the light. If it turns on an incandescent bulb, that is the malach of mavir min haTorah. But if I just create a circuit that turns on a fan, so why is that asr? So the Chazon Ish, the famous part of the Chazon Ish, he says, oh, maybe it's boneh. Maybe it's makim apatish. Erev Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, basically, when he was a kid, when he was like 18 years old, he wrote this whole sefer on Ma'urei Ish, what's it called, to argue on the Chazon Ish. Later on, he said he regretted that he was speaking to the Gadol Hadar, and he was like, well, 18-year-old kid, and he was like writing, ba, 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 ba. Right? Unbelievable. Erev Shlomo Zalman. So the Chazon Ish's famous approach is that's boner makiv apatish. The less famous mahalach in the Chazon Ish is that if I turn on electricity, the circuit is created. And if you have a circuit and you touch the wires, those wires can get hot. Zok the Chazon Ish, ken zayin, that is called Chatzi Shir of Bishul. Now, we're talking about a non-food item. Again, once you have solid-state electronics, this doesn't happen as much. Although, if I pick up my laptop right now, and you feel it, it gets hot, no? Electronic items get hot. Says the Chazon Ish, it could be that a non-food item, where we say the definition of bishul is solid, the definition of bishul is maksharach and marpeh kosher, whatever it is, zok b'Chazon Ish, it could be that even if it doesn't get to that degree, that is going to be a malacha of chatzi shir of bishul. Again, it could be he's saying it only once it's yad soledes before it gets to the temperature that it mamish liquefies, or it becomes more malleable. But this is a svara that the Chazon Ish says to asa using electricity. It's the less popular svara in the Chazon Ish, but it's really interesting because what he's assuming is that by non-food items, there's going to be chatzi shir, and that's why heating metal could be problematic. A few minutes ago, I just was looking in the Sefer, the Ketzos HaShulchan. The Ketzos HaShulchan is Rabbi Avram Chaim, he argues on the Chazon Ish, no? If you want a big share of matzah, you follow the Chazon Ish. You want a small share of matzah, put Rabbi Avram Chaim, no. You want to aser electricity because of chatzi shir of non-food items, you follow the Chazon Ish. You want to say that's not a problem, you follow Rabbi Avram Chaim, no. Rabbi Avram Chaim, no, in the Ketzos HaShulchan, Simin, Kuf, Lamed, Zayin, Ha'ara Yud Ches, page Lamed Zayin in the Sefer. Rabbi Avram Chaim Noah was a Chabad Posek who lived in Shkunat HaBukharim, and he writes that the Chazon Ish is totally off base because there's no din of Chatzi Shir. The malacha of Bishol by a non-food item means a taka becomes soft. If it doesn't become soft, does Hasnish Bishol at all. That's the idea that we were mentioning earlier, what we call a what we would call a shir nekuda. Now, let's go slowly. We have three categories of bishul: solid, liquid, non-foods. Do these categories overlap? Meaning, if I have something soft, a food that's soft, and I harden my soft food, is that going to be bishul also? Is the din of hardening the soft only bishul by non-food items? Or do I assume that the categories overlap? Nafgamina, making toast on Shabbos. No? Do any of you guys know the recipe for toast? Sometimes you have to ask guys in yeshiva. Right, what's the recipe for making toast? Teretz is, you take soft bread, you put it in the oven, and nisim in the fluice, it becomes hard. No? You ever? Right? Any of you ever make toast? I know it's complicated, it's hard. But it's hard, I have to, in many ways. But the point is that going to be bishul? Right? Ordinarily in halacha, I have rules of ein bishul achar bishul. We'll have to talk about that also. The bread is already baked, but it was baked soft. Now I harden it. Is that going to be bishul? So there's a whole discussion in the Achrayim about this. In the Sefer Shvisos HaShabbos, he's mamish a classic on Hilchos Shabbos, a beautiful, beautiful Sefer. Dr. Soloveitchik in his Rupture Reconstruction uses the Shvisos HaShabbos as the example of the old way that halacha was done before the digests, like the Mishnah Berurah, came onto the scene. Shvisos HaShabbos is a tremendous Sefer. So he writes that he thinks you're chayiv. If you make toast on Shabbos, you're mamish going to be chayiv because you're hardening something that was soft. However, the Pashtus is that there are three distinct categories and never the twain shall meet. The Pashtus is that by non-food items, softening the hard is a malacha. But by food items, I never see that softening the hard and hardening the soft is the malacha. Similarly, by water. Water doesn't get harder when I cook it, no? Water doesn't soften when I boil it. Why am I chayiv on the water? If the malach of bishul requires hardening the soft and softening the hard, and you feel that there's an overlap in categories. So it happens that Rav Nevensal in his Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, page 131, Rav Nevensal writes that he thinks when you boil water, the water becomes softer. And that's why there's a slightly different taste to boiled water. Mamish fashtein nisht vos erzokt. I have no idea what he's talking about. How does water get softer? No? I don't understand what he's talking about. The Pashtus is that the reason why I'm chayiv from boiling water on Shabbos is because boiling water is a different category than cooking solid food. And it's a different category than non-food items. This idea of softening the hard and hardening the soft, that's a din by non-foods. But by foods, I don't need to soften something in order to violate the din of, in order to violate the din of bishul. These issues, the difference between solids and liquids, etc., might remember, we have three categories, solid, liquid, non-foods. This might verenfer the question that the Mishnah Berurah asks. The Mishnah Berurah in the Shar HaTzion, Shin Yud Ches Os Kuf Yud Dalet. Mishnah Berurah asks Akasha, the Rambam tells me that if I heat something that doesn't require any heat, doesn't require any further cooking, if I heat fruit, for example, I cook a fruit, so Mishnah Berurah says I'm not going to be chayiv. It's similar to the idea of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. It's a Dovish Ein Sarch Bishul Klal. Right, we have this category in Hilchos Bishulei Akum, davar that's nechal kamoshu chai. It's edible ruah, so that's not called bishul. So the Rambam writes something that's edible ruah is not called bishul. And if I cook an apple, ken zayin, I'm not going to be chayiv for bishul because the apple was edible beforehand. So Mishnah Berurah says, okay, great idea. But he starts to scratch his head. He says, whoa, 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 hold it. Water, is water drinkable when it's raw? Did anyone ever drink uncooked water, gentlemen? Show of hands, anyone? Okay, right, we've done it. So how can you ever be chayiv on bishul b'mayim? This would be the biggest kula in Yiddishkeit, no? It's unbelievable. Wow, hey, this guy Schwartz, he came up with an awesome kula. You're like, Mishnah Berurah, chavetz chayim. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Koyen Kagan Pupko, right? He came up with an awesome kula. Maybe cooking water is not chay mishum bishul because it's nechol kamashul chay. So the Mishnah Berurah Mamish struggles on that kasha. He says, well, maybe nechol kamashul chay means that there's no improvement. But if I take a fruit, then I improve it, ayyadei the bishul, so maybe I'm going to be chayiv also. But I would say Bipashtos, that if we're right, that there are three, if we are right, that there are three different categories of bishul items, food, solid food, liquid, non-food items, and never the twain shall meet. So you're right. By food items, I have a rule of nechal k'mayshu chay. If it's edible ruah, I'm not going to be chayiv. And by the way, that's connected to ein bishul achar bishul, by food items. By liquids, I have different rules. By non-food items, I have different rules. Ubaze miturats, the kasha of the Shar HaTzion. How could you be chayiv for cooking water? I, water is nechal k'mayshu chay. The teretz is nechal k'mayshu chay. It's a beautiful principle, mamish, gevaldik, but only on solid foods. On liquids, it's governed by a totally different rule. Now, I actually think that this approach is a very reasonable approach. I think this actually makes a lot of sense. But as is Hashem, we're going to take this mahalach and focus on the ein bishul achar bishul element, right? That's going to be an important thing. Difference between food, solid food, liquids, and non-food items, and the hashlachot of that in terms of ein bishul achar bishul. I think that's already something that will be worth investigating. My voice is already beginning to go out. I'm giving another shiur. So, and we're sort of at a natural pause place. So shiur, I try to give 45 minutes a day. Today's just a little bit shorter because I feel like if I'm going to give my next shiur, I have to stop now. Chefer, I hope that we're going to learn together. We're going to enjoy it together. It's very geschmack. The limud of Bishul B'Shabbos, besides that, ends up tasting good. But it's a very enjoyable limud. And although we do lumdus, like we're doing today, but they're going to be practical nafgaminas. And again, Emir Tashem, you'll get a sense of what the Rashi Yeshiva here hold. I'll talk about what Rabbi Willink holds or Rav Schechter holds. I'll give you my own approaches when I have my own opinion. And Emir Tashem, we'll learn together, and it'll be a wonderful Zman. Again, there'll be around 3 weeks of Limud, 3.5 weeks, whatever it is. It takes me usually 16, 18 shiurim to go through the topics, and 4 days a week, whatever. That would be 4 weeks, but whatever. We might have to give a little bit longer some days. Okay, Chevra, have a great day. Zeig avenged.